She's feisty, she's funny, and she tells it like it is. Get ready for Empower Readings with Corby Mitlide. What are your opportunities right now? What are the possibilities? Ask Corby and cross the bridge from fear to fearlessness and fly. Here's your host, Corby Mitlide.
Good evening, good evening. I am so excited tonight. Those of you that have been with me for the over a year that we've been hanging out here at Empower know that we have had our share of pain in the patoot when it comes to voice quality and such like. Well, my beloved husband got us satellite. So according to Brent, who was dancing up and down when we did a test a couple of days ago, it should be much better. Quality should be much easier for you to listen to. And trust me, I'm just thrilled, because if I'm going to do radio, I want you to enjoy listening, not go ow, ow, ow. That aside, we're starting 2013 with new stuff. Anybody out there heard about this movie called The Hobbit? You know how there's this ring with like runes on it? Well, I figured, let's do someone who does runes. Now, I don't believe I've had anybody on the show that has done it extensively. My good buddy Chippicon does them, but I think that we were talking about other things when I had her on. So I was doing a show, as I always do, last year, and found this splendid woman named Melody Bishop who knew what she was doing with the runes. So I looked at her and I said, I need you on my show. And she grinned and she blushed and she said, okay. So I'm very pleased to bring on Melody Bishop, who is a self-taught rune expert. It runs in the family. She's been doing it for years. And fair warning, I know about as much about runes as y'all do, which is to say probably zip. So Melody, I'm going to be asking you some really basic questions, but welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited. Thank you, Corby.
All right, now, for those of us that are scratching our heads and going, is this like another deck of cards, which I know they're not, but other people out there might not, give us runes 101, the basics.
Okay, the runes were actually a valid Scandinavian alphabet that had their start around 300 AD, and they were originally more like each letter would mean have a story, or it would define an element or an animal or a tree. And so that's how, they were able to communicate. They used them basically, the writing, as like markers, and would say almost like, this is what happened at such and such a place, don't go down that road. So that those old runestone images that you would see in England and Ireland and throughout all over Scandinavia, they would actually say, this is what happened here, almost kind of like graffiti, if you will, at some point, but it was a valid alphabet. And when Christianity came, they kind of moved it underground, where it became more a source of divination, because they wanted to keep their heritage alive.
Now, I know that with Chinese characters, they're almost like pictographs. I remember that the sign for discontent was two women under a roof for whatever they thought, but that was literally their pictogram for discontent. So is that the way runes work? Did they come out of that, or just the symbols began to mean something the way we recognize an A or a P or a Q?
Right. The Vikings, being the travelers that they are, may have picked up some of the letters from the Roman alphabet. A few of them, like the M, Awaz, which looks like the letter M, and they have Rado, which looks like the letter R. So they may have picked up, and like I said, a lot of that really wasn't documented as to how the alphabet came to be, So a lot of a lot of it is, a lot of the scholars There's a lot of debate among them. So, and I definitely don't claim to be a rune scholar. I use them mostly for the readings, and I do enjoy, you know, reading up on them and the history of them. But, like, I could get, you know, three different books, and they're going to tell me three different things. So that's kind of what I've run into in, you know, reading up on learning the old history of it.
It's very much the way it is with tarot cards. Where they originated, there's room for debate. How people interpret them, room for debate. Now, that's the runes, but what about you? You say it comes from the family, and you've been doing it for a while. How did you start talking to them?
How I got involved was my aunts were all readers, but they read. They had different gifts. I had one aunt that read the palms, another one that read the tarot cards, and another one that read playing cards. And they were all my father's aunts. So many of them passed before I was born, but now as a child, my dad would always threaten that he would send me to live with them if I was bad. And so
Shades of practical magic.
Yeah. And so, you know, he would scare me into thinking, you know, they were black and I didn't want to live with them because they were creepy. But when I was 16, I wanted to go live with them, you know. I was like, you know, I want to meet them. And that's when he said, you know, well, they passed before you were born, and they had to really kind of come clean. And so, you know, I really wanted to learn about them and understand how they lived and what they did. And my dad had given me a set of runes and said, you know, if you're going to do this, I think you'll be really good at this. And he was right. I was. So, and my dad had this too.
Why do the runes talk to you more than cards or more than scrying or more than other tools? What is it for you?
I use the cards now more so than I did back then. The runes just felt right. Like, I held them and they just felt right. And I just loved how they felt in my hands. And the cards, at times the imagery kind of bothered me. Because, you know, I grew up Catholic, so I had a lot of that dogma to break through. And those preconceived ideas that Catholic Church drills into your head. So. But the runes were very comforting to me.
What do they tend to prefer to do? Because I know with my decks, certain decks prefer certain questions. My Fairy Oracle by Brian Froud, that's not where you choose the red card or the blue card. They specifically want to dig down to the stuff that somebody is not looking at and pull it up, whereas something like the standard Rider-Waite deck, that'll do the red card versus blue card questions.
Right. Runes, what I ask the client to do when they're getting a reading is I'll ask them to just pretend they're looking at a white piece of paper. Clear your mind and just picture a white piece of paper. And the runes will decide what comes up. And in my practice of doing that, I've been able to really unearth some stuff, and people are going, well, I didn't expect this today. And they start crying. And, you know, I don't mean to make people cry, but at times that happens because, you know, the runes are going to pull out what it is that you really need to deal with and look at. And I think they're very healing in a lot of ways.
What's been the toughest read you've had to do with the runes when they literally whacked somebody upside the head with a clue brick hard?
I had a client. I don't know if you get these people. I know I get them sometimes. And they sit down and I'm doing a reading and I'm telling them this stuff and I know what the runes are meaning. And then they're looking at me going, I don't know what you're talking about. You know, and I just think they have this wall that they're just trying to hide behind. And I'm thinking, well, maybe if they don't get it now, they're going to get it later on. Or, you know, it's frustrating to get those people that are there. They pay the money to see you, but then they're not listening to what they're saying, you know, and that's frustrating. I had one lady. It was almost like she was playing stump the psychic because she went to all these other people and kind of did the same thing to them. I just kind of was wondering what her deal was, but I had one person who really, I was able to pull up some old stuff, and I didn't mean to. It just came out. Like, I can put my hand over a particular rune if I'm not getting anything, and then I'll be able to get information. I'll be able to get mental images, pictures, you know, things like that, and I'll share that, and they're going, how did you know that? And they kind of freak out a little bit. I get that sometimes a lot whenever, you know, I'm receiving information. I don't know if it's my guides that are bringing the information in or the runes just open a door and I'm just able to tap into the client more.
Okay, now do you have certain rules? For instance, I will not predict a death. I will not say things like, oh, I see you're going to get stomach cancer in 2 years and I'll have a terrible time getting rid of it. All that right. stuff that, please, I mean, it's the kind of thing I want to tear out my hair of.
No, I don't do that either. And I don't give out dates because that's likely to change. And I don't give out, mm-hmm. I'll say, well, I do see you getting a new job. And I'll say, well, when? What's the date? I really can't give out a date, but I can see that you're going to work at a place like blah, blah, blah. But I don't give people an exact date because it's kind of biting you in the butt, you know. And okay. I don't do that. I would never predict a death or, something horrible like that. I would just kind of, lighten up and say, you need to take care of your health or, you need to, make some
changes
in your life.
That's really how to do it. I agree with you. That is really how to do it. If you see a tough thing, then you say, it wouldn't hurt to get a checkup instead the kind of nonsense that I said, which someone said to me about 10 years ago. Clearly, I didn't get it, and they were off. But it's not the kind of thing that you want to put into somebody's mind to start giving power.
No, absolutely not. Or I had one lady, I lived in Arizona at the time, and she came up to me, and she was a palm reader, and she said, my silver cord was cut, and she needed $250 to remove this curse for me. And I was like, if my silver cord was cut, wouldn't I be dead? who are you talking to, So I met people like that, too.
Please, that's like the gypsy that goes, how many in your family? Four? You have dog? Please.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Let's play with the runes.
Okay.
Whether you want to read me, whether you want to read our radio station, what do you want to do? How would you like to play with the runes to give somebody an idea of how they work?
Okay, I can read you if you like. I know we have calling people too. I can always draw a rune for them as well.
Okay, well the people are kind of waiting to listen and to call. I think that they want to see how this works first. We tend to get a lot of calls during the second half. So sure.
Okay.
Now, would I normally choose a rune from the bag? Would you spread them out? How would this work?
If it were you and I face-to-face, I would have you draw the runes. Now, I do do readings online, so I would just kind of have you just kind of clear your mind. And like I said, pretend you're looking at a white sheet of paper while I draw a rune for you. That's the way I'll tune into you.
Okay. All right. I saw a rune. It'll be interesting to see if it's the same one.
Okay.
What you are hearing are the runes being mucked about so that somebody will come up.
And just say when.
Now.
Okay, this rune looks like half of an arrow.
Yep.
Is that the one?
Yep.
Wow, okay. This rune represents water, and it represents the river, it represents going with the flow. It also represents intuition and psychic gifts. And it's pretty fitting that would be your rune because of what you do. And it's also representing of the feminine qualities. And so go with the flow more. I think a lot of times in life you try to make things happen your way. So this rune is counseling you to more or less go with the flow and just kind of relax a little bit and know you're going to get there and know it's just go with the flow like the river. And,
Take a chill pill. Okay. Interestingly, being a Pisces, water would be normal for me.
Right.
So, and we're just to make sure we're talking about the same rune. This is Laguz, correct? L-A-G-U-Z.
Yes,
now I have it.
Yep. Laguz. L-A-G-U-Z.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. Now, I know that most people, if they're going to find the runes, come at it from Ralph Blum's book, The Book of Runes, which all of us got to know back in the 1980s.
Right.
How accurate is he compared with standard?
He He took the runes and made them palatable for everyone. Will I say he's wrong? Will I say he's right? I personally, when I, my first book was his book, to be honest with you. I do have several other books that I use as well. And there is a lot of some truth in what he does. What I think the thing that really got a lot of the rune purists fired up was that he gave meaning to the blank rune. And traditionally, the blank rune was just a spare rune. So if you lost your rune, you could etch it in on the blank tile and you'd have a full set again. And Ralph Blum made it the rune of God, the rune of spirit, and the rune of karma, which was basically unheard of to the Vikings. So, and the Scandinavians, from when the runes were originated. So a lot of people got a lot of, you know, a lot really worked up over it. I personally do not use the blank runes. I find it to be a distraction. And the reason it's a distraction is when you lay a set of runes out on the cloth, on the table, with your client, and you have a blank rune in there, they don't care what the other runes say. They want to know why that rune is blank. And so I haven't used it for a long time. So, but I tell people it's up to them if they want to use it. But, you know, when I teach my classes, however, I mean, Ralph Blum, there's some truth to what he's written, but he really took it to more of a New Age standpoint, whereas some of the other authors, it, like...
Did he make it Disney rune?
Did he make it Disney rune?
Yeah, when you say it was palatable, it was easier to read. You know,
I would say
did
that.
Did he Disney-fy it?
Yeah, he definitely made it more mainstream. He made them more mainstream. And, you know, the other authors, there's a guy, Edward Thorsen, also known as Stephen Flowers. He has some great, great books on the runes, as well as a lady named Lisa Peschel. And their books are wonderful. I have their works as well. And, you know, they're great works to go from. But, I mean, it's not that, you know, I think the thing I like most about Blum's book is very user-friendly. You open up the cover and you've got all the runes right there and what page number they're on. I think all rune books should be designed that way. If anything, just that, you know.
Would you say for a beginner, go with Blum, or would you go with something a little more traditional?
As a beginner, I would say, you know, I like Lisa Peschel's book, The Practical Guide to Runes, because she tells you how to make the runes, and that's the book that I teach from in a lot of my classes. I've also taught from the Ralph Blum book as well. I'd say get both books and decide for yourself, because she does draw a little bit from his book, and it's under her suggested reading. Edward Thorsen, very dry and very academic. So once you hit that point where you think you've learned as much as you know you think you can, then that's where you would pick up with Edward Thorsen, and he really takes it another step. So... Ralph Blum's books are good. I mean, I learned that was my first book, you know, when I was 16. So it helped me understand them a little better. And, you know, as time went on, I just, you know, expanded my library and made sure I learned from the other writers as well. Because, you know, the runes are...
One of the things I love about runes, which is much more difficult to do when you're doing cards, is the fact that you can make your own. Whether it's you get different semi-precious stones or you find pebbles on the beach, all of us have enough artistic talent that we could either scratch on or paint lines.
Right.
Whereas if you have to come up with even a 44-card oracle deck, it's difficult.
I would have a six-figure tarot deck.
Okay. For those who are just coming in, we're talking with Melody Bishop, who is a rune master, and she's basically giving us, you know, what the Futhark is this, Futhark being what runes were called. Futhark to runes is alphabet for ABC. Think of it that way. But there's no sense in having this fabulous divination system on if we can't use it. Guess what, guys? That's you. So the number is 248-809-3475. That's 248-809-3475. You can get rune readings from Melody. I, of course, you know, have my decks here. And it's the beginning of the year. This is when everybody usually has a question. What's going to happen? Can I do this? Can I do that? you got all the energy in front of you. So call us and let's rock and roll. All right, here's one I am going to ask you about, Melody. This wonderful Empowered Radio station is really ready to rock and roll this coming year. We've got lots of plans. Our Captain Brent has all kinds of exciting things happening. Pull a rune for Empower Radio.
What Absolutely, I sure can. Let's see what we have. All right, I'll just say when.
Pull it.
Okay. Oh, I love it. This rune is called Fehu. It looks like an F that points upwards. And This is a great, great rune for you guys because this is the rune of abundance. It's the rune of prosperity. It's Freya's rune. It's a beautiful, wonderful, happy rune. So you guys have a great year ahead of you. What's that?
I said, oh, baby, oh, baby. Now, this is the one that Bloom calls the rune of fulfillment, correct?
Correct. Indeed, yes.
Wonderful.
And it's a fabulous rune. This is great for you guys. So you guys are going to have a rock in the air. You really are. So congratulations.
We love it.
Yeah. It's the rune of abundance. It's the rune of material prosperity.
It's the rune of ka-ching. All right, now, we go to break, where are people going to find you? Give us your website. Blah.
Sure.
Go ahead.
It's runesbymelody.com, and I have my online readings there. You can read up on who I am and what I do. And also, you'll see on the far right of that webpage, I have a little online store, too. So I sell goodies for us all, including runes. So. And books.
Wonderful. Now, do you make them for your people, or do you simply have commercial sets that you sell?
At this point, it's brand new, the online store, so right now at this time, it's all commercial. But I do have some, in stock, we have some traditional bone runes that the Vikings had used, as well as some made by semi-precious stones and wood. So, we try to have them all there. Eventually, I would like to make some out of clay and sell them, but I just haven't had the time lately. I've been so busy, so it's a good thing. So,
okay. And is there a phone number for people to call you?
It is 717-480-2374.
Okay. Got a quick call. We have Justo from San Francisco, California. Any job coming his way in the near future?
Hello.
Justo, hi.
Hi, how are you?
We got good. We just got a couple of minutes before break. So hold on one second. We're pulling together Melody. Now, when you ask about any job coming your way in the near future, are you working now or not?
I'm on medical leave. I am working, though, yes.
Okay. When are you going to be off the medical leave?
The 21st of January.
Wonderful. All right. We're getting Melody back on the line. Meanwhile, let me pull a quick card for you. It's the Hanged Man, which tells me that you need to look at work a little bit differently than you have before. You may not necessarily go back to what you were doing before. So open up your job search. What is it that you did full time before you went on medical leave?
I was a student.
Okay. So the job that you're doing now, has this been a part-time thing that you've been pulling together, or what?
Yeah, it's part-time. It's 6 hours at a public school in San Francisco, and I've been doing it 22 years.
Okay, well, whatever it is, I want you to stretch for a full-time job. Find something different. If you have been a custodian, you're better than just sweeping and mopping. So I want you to start thinking of yourself bigger, better. The best way to do it, the card that I'm getting says Three of Cups. Now, that has lots of ladies on it, so I would say you might want to take a look at some kind of a large retail establishment, some kind of a gym or fitness center, something like that, where there is enjoyment and lots of coming and going. I think that's going to be a little bit better for you. So I'm double checking with my engineer to see if we've got Melody back. So, all right, Justo, what I'm going to do is tell you, hang up, and we'll see if we can get Melody to answer on the air, okay?
Okay, thank you, Corby.
Okay. Melody, did we get you back? There you are. All right, so very quickly before we go to break, Justo, is he going to get a new job soon?
Oh, let me pull one up for him.
Okay.
I have the room, the same room that I pulled for you guys. It was the FIHO. And I pulled it reverse. Are you having some serious issues with finances right now?
He's off the air, but yes, I believe he is.
Okay. When it's reversed, is advising him to do is stop focusing on the lack mentality. He's focusing too much on what's not working and what's not happening. So we need to change that thought pattern to really turn it around so it's a positive thing. When this rune is reversed, it's saying you're looking at the shadow side of your possessions. Also, it's saying, you know, have patience and just, you know, turn this around, because what this is basically saying is that the lack mentality is a law of attraction. It's bringing more of that to you. So focus on what you have and work on chipping away some of that, you know, sense of, you know, oh, I can't do this, I don't have that. You have to stop saying that. Anytime you put anything after the word I or I am, you make it so. So change what you're saying to yourself and telling yourself, and you know, watch what you're broadcasting and putting out there.
Makes complete sense. All right, people out there in radio land, we're about to go to break. When we come back, we do want your calls, 248-809-3475. You may or may not be actually on the air with us, but we'll want the questions, because without the questions, there's no show. See you on the flip side.
Have you ever lost a cat? And have you ever wanted to get your cat back after you lost it? Hi there, I'm Andrew Hoffman. I went on this website called InventNow.org. Then I decided to make an invention of my own. It's called the Lost Cat Magnet Invention. So you can get your cat back after you lost it. Just turn it on and lost cat stick to it. That's a good cat. If your cat was hiding up in a tree, it won't be up a tree anymore. It will be stuck to the lost cat magnet. And sometimes they fly toward you in the air. Just listen to one satisfied cat. See? That's proof. You should go to the InventNow.org website too. But just remember one thing. Don't do a lost cat magnet.
Anything's possible. Keep thinking. Get started on your own inventions or just play some games at InventNow.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, the National Inventors Hall of Fame Foundation, and the Ad Council.
License and registration.
But I'm walking.
Do you want to upset an officer of the law?
No, sir.
Good. I pulled you over today for littering.
I didn't litter.
Wow. That's what they all say. Unfortunately, I saw you drop a pair of thunder thighs a few blocks back. Probably happened as you were biting into that apple you're holding.
How'd you know they're my thunder thighs?
Well, my young friend, I'd like to say 2 years in the police academy helped figure it out, but between us, it was smallstep.gov.
Smallstep.gov?
Yep, Rooney. It's this site with tons of easy ways to lose weight. Some steps are so easy, people don't realize they're doing them. Like you taking small step number 83, snack on fruits. Go to smallstep.gov, you'll see. You can drive off now.
I'm still walking.
Take a small step to get healthy at smallstep.gov. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Ranger Station, Ranger speaking.
Yeah, hi. I'd like to report a bear sighting.
Location?
In the woods, just outside of town.
Oh, not surprising. You've got your home. Bears have theirs.
Yeah, but see, this wasn't just any bear. This bear was wearing jeans and a hat, as in a Smokey Bear.
Jeans and a hat. That's definitely Smokey. What exactly did he have to say?
Well, we were about to head home, you know, after having a bonfire.
Oh, I can guess where this is going.
Right, right. See, Smokey told me the fire wasn't actually out. He said if it's too hot to touch, it's too hot to leave.
That's true. Did you know that 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans? That means 9 out of 10 wildfires can be prevented.
Wow, no kidding?
I'm a forest ranger. We never kid.
Sorry.
That was a joke.
Oh.
Get your Smokey on. If you see someone in danger of starting a wildfire, step in and make a difference, because 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans. Brought to you by Smokey Bear, the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Welcome back to Empower Readings with Corby Midline. Your calls are next at 248-809-3475. 248-809-3475. Empower Readings on Empower Radio. EmpowerRadio.com.
Welcome back to Empower Readings. I'm Corby Mitlide, and this week we have Melody Bishop, who is a rune master of the first rank. So we are now ready for your calls and your readings. 248-809-3475. You can either get a rune reading from Melody. I, of course, have all my decks of cards ready to rock. Meanwhile, Melody, you read for a radio station, so you read for something that is inanimate. Do you read for business openings? Do you read for events, things like that?
I have, yes, I have. I had this one group contact me. They call themselves the Angel Ladies, and they said, we need you to read the group. And I said, what do you mean read the group? And she said, read the group. So I said, well, let's make a party out of it, you know? So I was able to give everybody their own individual reading and then read them as a collective whole, and it turned out to be a great time. So that was my first time ever doing that sort of thing, and it really does work. I've had people ask me before, hey, can you, you know, do a reading for my business, or can you do a reading, a lot of times, like I had one lady wanting a reading for her whole family. And I thought that was pretty cool. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I've done that before. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
do you always use one rune for the reading, or do you do multiple? For instance, with tarot, there may be three cards. If I'm doing an entrepreneur spread, I'll often have as many as a dozen.
Right.
What is it that has you decide how many runes are correct?
I usually do for your regular reading five runes, and it's your mm-hmm. overview challenge app. Action, sacrifice, a new situation. And then what I'll do is that first set is basically letting me know what's going on, you know, on the whole. And when I draw the second set, that really kind of gets a little deeper and kind of brings mm-hmm. up some issues that maybe people weren't ready to deal with or they're, you know, and so I usually do about 10. And then I also have some different decks of cards that I use to validate the runes, because I found that some people like imagery better and pictures, so I have several different decks that I've also incorporated. And the cards definitely validate the runes. I'm sorry?
Which decks?
Oh,
do you have particular decks that you favor?
Today I have the Earth Magic card deck by Dr. Stephen Farmer, and I have two tarot decks that I use as well. I have a Tarot of the Cat People, which was given to me by my mother-in-law, as well as it's called a Mythic Tarot, and it's more designed for the Greek goddesses and things like that, and the Greek stories. So I have two tarot decks in the Earth Magic deck, and I let the client pick which deck they want to use.
What draws you toward a deck? Is it the artwork? Is it the style that it's done in, et cetera, et cetera?
I would say it's definitely the artwork and, how I feel when I use it. I always make sure that, I use it for myself before I use it for anybody else, you know. I have several other different mm-hmm. decks, too, that were given to me that they're in a drawer. You know, I don't even bother with them because they just don't feel right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, let me see. We're going to put on Francine from Portland, Oregon, and she's calling for me. Francine, are you there?
Yes, I'm still here.
Hey, Happy New Year and welcome to the show.
Oh, great. Thanks. Happy New Year to you, too.
Now, you've got a question about a career. Are you in one now you want to stay in, or are you looking to change or open your own place? What's the deal?
I'm in one now, and I want to, I'd like to do something else, and I'm having a hard time knowing what that is.
Okay.
And I just feel, you know how you get that time when you just feel like you need to do something else, but you don't want to jump out of the frying pan into the fire? That's kind of where I'm at. I don't want to just apply for a bunch of places, because where I'm at, most of it's okay. But I feel the need
okay.
to change.
What is not okay with where you are? Because I'm going to do a little upstairs work before we pull some cards to see if we can get you a direction.
Okay. Well, the what's not okay where I'm at now is... I've just been doing it a long time. I've been there maybe 11, 12 years, and I don't, it just feels like the work is overwhelming, and I just don't have the fire in my belly for it like I used to. And I don't, there's some personalities I don't like either.
Gotcha. What is the title? Tell me what you do.
It's a director in the clinics. So
you do healthcare stuff.
I do healthcare.
All right. Do you want to stay in some form of healthcare?
Now that we're getting to specifics, I don't want to be on the part where we give services anymore. I just want to use what I know about it, but I don't want that day-to-day grind anymore.
Okay. Because the sense that I'm getting is you're still a leader. And for you to just take a yutz job where you just punch the clock is a total waste of what you do. Total.
Yeah, and I don't want to do that.
Mm-mm. Let me ask you this. If you could change the world with one thing, what would it be? Would it be gun control? Would it be feeding people? Would it be teaching them to read? You know, what is it that you would like to tell God you got to do to make the place better?
Oh, gosh, that's a hard question. That everyone would be educated and that people would like themselves. Those two things.
All right. So I'm going to pull a card for a possible nonprofit, one where it's a literacy program, working at a university, because that's where you're going to go. Of those two, you don't want to work at a university. I have absolute opposites. I have the Nine of Cups, which is the wishes fulfilled card, and the Ten of Swords card, which says, honey, there's no more blood to bleed. Why are you there? So what would purely delight you, I think, is working with some kind of a thing where it's an illiteracy program, and you're teaching immigrants how to read, or, you know, people that are 60 or 70 years old and they've never learned to read. You want to make miracles. And that's one of the reasons that people go into healthcare, the miracle of wellness. Well, what I'm going to suggest for you is find a place where you can change a life by handing them the keys to knowledge. Whether it is library, whether it is a bookmobile, whether it is teaching people to read, your thing is... it's teaching them to fish, not giving them to fish. You remember that old saying?
Yeah. That's true.
So,
that's true.
And I know that you don't want to just jump. So I'm going to suggest that you do what I call grafting. Mm-hmm. Grafting is where you start the new career on the side, either volunteer or part-time. And when it's got its momentum, that is boom. That is when you tell your old boss, be nice, I'll see ya, and you go into this new position and career, knowing you've already proven yourself. It's a little time, but I think you can do it. Now, very quickly, your birthday, month and day.
November 7.
All right, 11 plus 7 is 18, plus this year's master number is 6, so 2 plus 4 is 6. You're in a 6 year this year. Mm-hmm. A 6 year is emotional. A 6 year is when everyone comes to you with their problems. And next year is a sabbatical year. where you kind of need to go to the top of the mountain to talk with God. I would say, and I don't know how old you are, plan to change the career totally within 2 years. An 8 year, which will be 2015, that's your big career jump year. And I think within the next 2 years, you're going to be able to find something that you adore and get the momentum going so that in 2015, you can tell him, thanks, got the T-shirt, I'm out the door. Okay?
Yeah. That sounds good. It gives me a little bit of ideas on what to think about.
And it gives you the time. Don't rush. Yeah. Okay?
All right. Sounds good. Thanks, Corby.
Good enough. You are welcome. Stay warm.
I will. Yeah, you too.
All
bye-bye.
Right. Okay. I believe that we have Miss Melody back. Melody, did you want to pull a rune for Francine just on an idea?
Absolutely. Okay, I did hear the conversation, so let's see what we have for her.
Mm-hmm.
It was so funny as you were talking to her. I was like, teacher, teacher, she should be a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
But
oh, I love it.
Not a standard Rugrat teacher.
I'm sorry?
I see her making not a standard, what I call the Rugrat teacher. It's putting miracles in the hands of adults who thought they would never get their shot.
Indeed. Like English is a second language or something like that, or, you know, something along those lines. But I have a wonderful rune for her. So it's the rune of Suelu. It's also called Sigel, depending on which phrase of thought. And this is the rune of the sun. It's the rune of victory. It's the rune of success. And it's the rune of really owning your power. And it's a fantastic, fantastic rune. So, you know, follow your dreams and follow what, you know, makes your heart grow. And this rune is saying whatever she chooses, you know, that helps her make the world a better place. She's really going to shine. So this is a wonderful rune. I love it. So, And it looks like a lightning bolt.
Yeah.
So.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it looks like Harry Potter's forehead scar. Yeah. Think of it that way,
yes,
guys.
Yes, it does. So,
and, you know, and I wonder if they did that with the idea of the rune in the background, you know, for people who are always looking for symbolism.
Right.
Now, I want you to notice, folks, that there were two runes that had success with them. One of them was Suelu, and the other one was Fehu. But it's success in different ways. Can you give me a clue on the differentiation here, Melody?
Sure. Suelu is more of success, victory, conquering something, conquering a fear, conquering, overcoming, basically, is that rune. And anything you put your mind to, if that rune comes up, it's saying, hey, you are going to succeed no matter what. Fehu is saying, this is the rune of financial success, financial goodness. And that rune, Fehu, represented, that element was cattle. So back in the days, the Vikings used cattle for money. So that's Fehu represents money, material success. Suelu means success all around. It could be spiritual, emotional, physical, everything. This is a great rune to have. So that's the difference between the two.
Gives a whole new meaning to the phrase cash cow, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. That definitely does. And that could be where it came from.
Probably. Very much.
Yeah.
All right. 248 809-3475. That's 248-809-3475. We are looking for your questions here on Empower Readings. And Chipakon, if you're listening, girl, you had better call in. I was foaming at the mouth. I wanted to get my two rune mistresses together to talk about stuff. I think I'm going to have the two of you as dual guests on the show sometime in the future if you're game for that.
Oh, I would be delighted. That would be great. That'd be great.
Okay.
Yeah.
What if you were going to suggest for someone to get a feel for a rune reader. It's easy. You can choose a card reader because you see how we read the cards, how we handle them. But if you don't know anything about runes in the first place, how do you know if the reader's any good?
That's a great question. Unfortunately, I don't know very many rune readers. I think I've only met one other runester, and he was in Maryland, and he seemed to know what he was talking about. But I would definitely, I was actually at a party once, and there's a young girl reading runes, and she used her book. So if anybody breaks out a book, walk away, okay? Walk away. I don't know. That just didn't sit right with me. But I would say ask them questions. You know, ask them, you know, hey, what are the histories of the runes? Where do they come from? And, you know, if they can provide you with some information about the runes themselves. And ask them really how long they've been reading. It took me a long time to really master this, to be able to do this without a book or anything. So it really did take a long time to do. So I would just ask the person and get a feel for how they are. And, you can just tell, if somebody's genuine or not. And if they're trying to pull your leg. So just be aware. Just be very aware,
It's so important, especially now, when this is the bump of the year. November, December, sometimes, but I find January, February, March, people are so desperate to get their information. Guys, remember, if you don't get a good feel for somebody, if they don't feel like they know their tools, if they don't feel trustworthy, I don't care how cool the WikiWoo looks on the table, don't go there.
I agree.
Because there will be somebody else at another time.
Indeed.
What's the worst? What's the most egregious don't do that you ever saw another reader do? Yeah, people love the horror story, so give us yours.
I would say the one where they'll say, I'll remove the curse for $300, or give me that piece of jewelry because that piece of jewelry you're wearing is really cursed. That BS. Or I've seen people get downright, I do some of these fairs a lot, and one time I was walking by, and I really saw a reader get really rude to her client, and I was like, wow, she just kind of got nasty with the person. Now, I didn't hang out to see why, but, I just think that, in this business, you got to be polite to the people that are sitting down across the table from you. And, you have to treat them with respect, and I see a lot of people, I don't want to say a lot of people, but a good amount of people that almost condescend to their clients, and that's not good. So I try to treat everybody how I would want to be treated. And, go by your gut instincts. I just tell people, go by your, what feels right for you, as to who you sit down with.
Where do you as a reader draw the line when a client's impolite to you? And how do you handle that?
I had one guy who was just obnoxious and rude, so I just finished it quickly. I burned through the runes and said, well, that's it. I guess we're done now. And okay, is that it? Yep, that's it. That's all I got for you. And so that's about it. That's where I draw the line. When someone gets rude to a point, I just end the session. And that's very, very rare that happens. I think maybe happens. That's happened maybe once or twice, and that's about it. I just kind of go through it, read them, and say, have any questions? Nope. Okay, we're done, and that's about it.
What would be the advice you give to a potential client in order to get the most out of a session with you?
I would say come with an open mind. I think a lot of people have preconceived notions as to what a rune reader is and how the runes are, I've had experiences where I've had angels come through. One time I had somebody's pet who died a week before, it was a Pomeranian, come through. Like, I'm like, there's a dog here. What's this dog doing here? And they're like, when the dog died a week ago, I'm like, it ain't dead, So anything can happen in a rune reading. And, you know, like for me, they're just a tool to open the door to the other side. So some people use cards, some people use pendulums. The runes are my tool. And so I've had experiences with, you know, those who have passed, and, you know, they've all come through. And I'm just kind of like, well, you know, so anything can happen. So it's not just me translating an ancient script. It's more than that, too.
Okay. We have a quick one. Sydney in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania wants to know what's in store for her this year. Her birthday is 4/18/62. Melody, you want to pull one for her?
Sure, absolutely. Okay, now she receives the rune Uruz, which it almost looks like a upside-down crooked U. And this rune represents the ox, and it represents hard work. So I'm thinking this has to do a lot about her work and her job. And I'm guessing that there's quite a bit of a change in her job, and she just needs to hang in there and keep working. And I get the feeling that, you know, if it's a change in jobs, I feel like there's a change coming, a huge change. So she just has to hold on tight, and she's going to be okay. So she's definitely concerned about her work. And so this is just saying, you know, keep working hard. And it also represents one other thing, too. Some people would say this would be the rune of termination and new beginnings. So there's going to be some things that are going to be a lot of change going on around her. So it's the rune of hard work.
Okay, and Sue from Ithaca has an interview tomorrow. She's wondering how it goes. Melody, please answer.
Oh, okay, hold on. Okay, this is the room. I just drew a blank. I'm sorry. No, just kidding. This room represents defense, and it represents don't put yourself in the defensive, and also don't try to force the job to happen. Don't be needy. Don't be clingy. Just go in there with confidence, and, you know, don't get defensive. I think this person who you're interviewing with may try to put you on a defensive. They're just trying to push your buttons. So whatever you do, do not get defensive with this person. Just, you know, be very calm, be very professional, and don't try to force the situation. But I think that's what this dream represents.
Okay, and this is Al Giz, the one that looks like
Al
a turkey
Giz.
Track?
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Yeah, my brain just shut down. I'm sorry.
Not a problem. Sue, control the emotions. Remember, this is it's a chess game you're playing tomorrow. So stay one step ahead. All right, we are about ready to shut down here. Quickly, Melody, give them the information again on where to find you.
I'm at runesbymelody.com, and my phone number is 717-480-2374. I do online readings as well as in-person readings, and I'll be glad to work with you.
Yes, and we're going to have you back, and I am going to get Chipakon on, and we're just going to watch the free-for-all. Okay, folks, next week is the past life party for January. You know how it runs. If you have a phobia, if you have an obsession, if you have a weird feeling about a country, a weird feeling about a person, be sure to contact me this week. Let's get the information, and we will get this answered for you. Meanwhile, if you're looking for me, you can find me at firethroughspirit.com. You can find me on Twitter, Corby Mitlide. You can find me on Facebook, Corby Mitlide or Fire Through Spirit. You can find me a week from tomorrow at the Hearthstone in Buffalo, New York for my first Buffalo show of the year. And you can always get me at 877-321-CORBY. So thanks to my wonderful engineer, and thanks to Brent for having the patience, and thanks to you guys for sticking with me since August of 11. Next week, it just gets better. Have a terrific 7 days, folks, and we'll see you next week on Empower Readings.